coming up very soon, Righting the Wrongs of History. So this is a great story. I heard it on the news this morning. We have always thought for many years that the person who first found gold in Australia was Edmund Hargraves. Well, it wasn't. And the man who did discover gold first in New South Wales is about to be recognised. So we'll hear that story with a history sleuth.
You're listening to Evenings with Sarah McDonald.
So bleary-eyed this morning, I heard this story on the news and it pricked my ears up, and it's about the first man to discover gold in New South Wales. Now, the man's name was William Tipple Smith, and you may not have heard of him before because his discovery went unacknowledged. It was always attributed to another bloke, Edmund Hargraves. But thanks to some extraordinary detective work by historian Lynette Silver and some money put in by the state government, the record will now be corrected forevermore and displayed on a headstone for William Tipple Smith. And Lynette Silver joins us to tell us the story now. Hello, Lynette. How are you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Now, you're also a distant relative of William's.
Well, yes, I'm actually so many generations down as a niece. His brother was my great-great-great-grandfather.
His brother was your great-great-great...
Grandfather.
Grandfather, fantastic. Is that how you came across this injustice?
Yes, indirectly. I was doing the family research and discovered that Thomas, my great-great-grandfather, and William had started out the iron industry in Australia at Mittagong, of all places, and they were the founders of the iron and steel industry by building an ironworks down there called the Fitzroy Ironworks in 1848. So I thought that William was a very interesting person, being a mineralogist and a metallurgist, and started to sort of have a look around. And discovered that he was, as I thought at the time, an absolute crook. I read in some very well-researched history books that he had tried to extort money from the New South Wales government by pretending he'd found a gold field and had tried to pass off gold as California as the proof. And I thought, well, what a crook. And I wasn't too impressed with him and didn't do much about it until a distant relative of his gave me some typewritten copies of correspondence, which, if they were from originals, proved absolutely that he had found gold, and that he had been victim basically of a scam pulled by the colonial secretary and the governor of the day, who'd set him up by saying that he'd bought gold in from California.
Oh no, so even worse than being unrecognised, he was actually vilified as a crook.
Oh yes, and you know, better history books, they'll say that this mineralogist had claims he'd found a gold field. Well, I looked at these typewritten letters and they seemed, if they were authentic, they were going to be dynamite. But, I mean, they were typewritten copies and not very well typewritten as that. But it piqued my interest. And I thought if the correspondence had actually existed, it must be somewhere. So off to the archives I went and found, sure enough, there was a trail of letters arriving from William Tipple Smith to the government of the day to do with a gold discovery, and when we went to the files, there was nothing there. The correspondence was registered, but it had disappeared.
Oh, my gosh. So what year was this?
This is all happening in about 1849 to 1851.
Right, okay.
So I chased that and eventually found all this correspondence attached to a minute by the governor of the day, which was completely where it shouldn't have been. It was completely either deliberately misfiled or accidentally misfiled. I'm not too sure which.
Mm.
But the reason why it was so interesting was in it were the instructions from the governor to colonial secretary. And at this stage, the instructions were explicit that the government in England, which was asking questions as to why the local administration had not done something about gold exploration, why they had allowed a gold rush to take place, why the Crown had been deprived of millions and millions of pounds in revenue because mineral rights hadn't been retained here in New South Wales.
Right.
They set off and said, oh, yes, well, A. Mr. Smith came to see us, and they changed the date that he came.
Oh my gosh.
And he brought some gold samples with him. And as we suspected, the gold had come from California. That's why we didn't do anything, right?
Right. Okay.
So that was why the setup was there.
Yeah.
But when I found the first lot of letters, and they matched the terrible typewritten ones,
yeah,
I then realised that there must be more, and it was the second lot that were going to be really hard to find because they were actually over in England, and they were to deal with an appeal that William Tipple Smith, having been thwarted by the governor here and the colonial secretary, was appealing basically to the Secretary of State for the Colonies and to Queen Victoria herself for justice.
Uh-huh, which he never got.
No, well, eventually I did find that he had written, because the same thing, there were indexes,
yeah,
with the letters arriving. When we went to files, nothing there,
right,
at all.
Okay.
And that's just where everybody had gone to, same down the path as I had, but with a lot of lateral thinking, I started on a different tack and started to investigate a geological friend of his who was very powerful in England, and went to look in his background, and eventually, after a lot of searching, discovered that he had intervened on Smith's behalf. And when he'd intervened, all the correspondence from Smith to Queen Victoria and England had been moved out of the S for Smith file in London and put under the M for Murchison, the name of the geologist, file. And there was all the missing paperwork.
Oh, that's how it had gone missing. Okay, I hear you. Right.
Both lots. Lot from here, the
bit
lot from
there.
And when I found that put it all together.
Right.
And I knew then that his claim was valid.
Yeah.
And what had
Eureka.
Happened to him and the political reasons why.
Right.
He'd actually been basically framed by the government of the
right.
day.
Here. Oh, my gosh, Lynette. So you found a grave injustice for your ancestor. Now, Kath's pointed out on the text, you know, that we should acknowledge that Indigenous people had probably long discovered gold way before that, but he was the first white person to discover gold and to see it, because there was a different notion of value of it to write about it. So
just stop there just for a second. The whole question of gold discovery is it has to be payable gold.
Yeah, right.
People had, even convicts had picked up bits of gold.
Okay.
What you had to do was you had to, the gold reward that was given to Edward Hargraves, which was substantial, was payable gold, and payable means that for the amount of effort you put in getting the gold out is worth it.
Okay, so it's like finding a gold field, yeah.
And you have to find a gold field and it has to be proven.
Right, yes. Okay, I hear you. So that's perhaps what we should have made clear. It was about a gold field. So where was this finding that William Tipple Smith made?
Well, it was out at a little place called Yorkie's Corner, and then rechristened Ophir, which is between Bathurst and Orange. Right, miles and miles and miles from anywhere. He went out there on horseback in 1848 and collected all these samples and mapped this whole area and sent all his information and his samples to London in 1848 to this geologist, Murchison.
Yeah, gotcha.
Who fortunately had put all the samples in the Mining Museum in Piccadilly in London.
Oh, so really?
The proof was there.
Yeah.
And Murchison knew all about it. So, yeah. You know.
Did it ever get mined?
Oh, yes. Well, what happened was Smith had come back. He'd gone to the here in 1849. He had gone to the colonial secretary because lots of people were going off to California to the gold rushes, which had started the previous year.
Yeah.
And he said, look, I found this gold field and here's the gold to prove it. And he left his samples with the colonial secretary, who then said, oh, well, we'll see you, you know, we'll tell you later.
Yeah.
So what he did was he then got a horse and he himself went off across the Blue Mountains trying to find out where Smith had found his gold so that he could buy up the land. Because if you bought up the land, you owned the mineral rights.
Ah, right.
And he didn't find anything. Hargraves came back. He'd gone to California. He came back and he went out to the Bathurst area. He found nothing except tiny traces, but he did find a couple of young local lads to sort of help be his labourers, I guess.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, you keep looking and I'm going back to Sydney.
Mm.
And if you find anything, tell me. Well, when they were left on their own, they spoke to their uncle who'd seen Smith finding this gold at this place called Yorkie's Corner.
Yeah.
And they went there, even though Hargraves had been there, and not even bothered to get off his horse. He said, there's no gold here.
Right.
So they looked in the creek where Smith had been. They found these nuggets.
Yep.
They told Hargraves. He came hurtling over the Blue Mountains on horseback with a borrowed £10 note. He bought the gold from them.
Yep. And he got the money and the recognition.
He went back to Sydney and said he'd found a gold field.
Right. So he got the money and the recognition. Yeah.
Yes. He pulled all the wool over the eyes of the government, and he cheated these two young fellows.
I bet.
All with a borrowed £10 note.
Oh, gee. The people that we remember in history, Lynette, it's interesting, isn't it, right? So now there's going to be a headstone for him which will say this and right the wrongs of history.
Yes, well, 36 years ago is when I found the paperwork. That's
right.
How long ago it was.
Yeah.
And a fellow called Bill Hamburger, who is a direct descendant of William, he's now 90 years old.
Yeah.
All his life, his family had suffered from this slur on his great-great-grandfather, you know.
Yeah.
He was this crook.
Yeah.
And his dying wish, basically, is to put up a headstone. So, I mean, I thought about it over the years, but I wasn't nearly as determined as Bill is. And Bill got stuck into it with a bit of help from local politicians, and particularly Gladys and the New South Wales government, who decided that this was something that should be recognised.
Right, because he doesn't even have a headstone.
No, because he died. He died in 1851. He had a stroke while he was appealing against his injustice.
Right. Okay.
Eventually, he got a second letter to say, you know, you're not getting anything, you know, go away, basically.
Right.
And he died within 3 days of getting that, and was buried in Devonshire Street Cemetery. But in 1901, he was dug up. The whole place was dug up to make way for Central Railway Station.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody was moved out. Well, he was moved out to Rookwood. And I don't know why he didn't have a headstone, but he doesn't.
He doesn't. Lynette, we're racing towards the news, but when will it be unveiled, this headstone?
Well, it's being made at the moment, so as soon as this wretched virus is over,
yes.
I think there'll be a grand opening and Bill will be there, plus all any relatives we can find. And we will see on that headstone that here lies the co-founder of Australia's Iron and Steelworks industry, and also the man who discovered the first payable gold in Australia.
The first payable gold. Well, that is a great injustice which will be put to rest, and hopefully he will as well. And it's a terrific story. So, yeah, you need more than 10 people at that unveiling. So hopefully.
Yes, I think we'll wait. We probably wait.
Wait. Yeah. Wait till you can have 100 or, you know, or more, I think, because I think a lot of people would want to go. That's terrific, Lynette. So thank you so much for chatting to us tonight and for all that great hard work that you did all that time ago. It's good to know it's led to this.
Yes, I thought maybe I'd die before it happened, but it doesn't look like happening.
No.
In the near future, that's going to happen to me.
Good.
Anyway.
Stay strong, and that'll be a great day. We'll chat to you around that time, hey?
Yes, sure. Thanks.
Brilliant. All right. Thanks, Lynette. That's Lynette Silver, who did that terrific work to right that wrong of history for someone she was related to all those years past. That's detective work in history, isn't it?
You're listening to Evenings with Sarah McDonald.
It is 9:05. Thank you to my texter, Jim, who says, Lynette Silver is a remarkable woman. She's done lots of great research on prisoners of war during the Second World War. Yes, and I have interviewed Lynette about that before on Nightlife, Jim. I know she's a total treasure, but this is a story close to her heart. So it's just terrific that it's finally come good and history will be right once again.